Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Tiger Cast Show. Very, very special show indeed. Hope everyone's doing well tonight and has had a good weekend. Firstly, EJ, welcome to you, mate. Hope you're doing well.
G'day, Chris. Great to be here again.
You are. You did message me saying that you were going to be a bit more lit up tonight in your display, and you are appearing that way. What have you done?
I've actually stolen a lamp from somewhere else because what I worked out was the light in the room is actually slightly behind my head, which is why I was always in shadow. So I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that people can see me now, but this is what we have.
Oh, hopefully we get some different shades of orange through the night as well. That'd be good too. Oh, there you go. Grok said you're looking good. And welcome, John. And welcome, Nick, as well. And in the top right, while we don't have visual, it's the great man himself, Tiger Royalty, Matthew Richardson. Welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, good to be here, Chris. Yeah, I'll just explain to you guys before we pressed record that my office where my computer is right next to my 10-month-old daughter Ella's room, and she's just learning how to sleep properly, as parents would know. So, yeah, I'm out the back, mate. But, yeah, good to be with you guys.
No problems at all. And how was the sleep going with the kids? I know it's a big battle, but hopefully that's all under control for you, all going well.
If we get through a night without being woken up at the moment, it's a miracle. But that's all part of it. But Ella actually is our third daughter. We've had Zoe and Riley, and I guess you just learn to roll with the punches a little bit more as you move through being parents with young kids. So it's not too bad at all. Yeah, everything's fine.
Very good. You're seasoned veterans at now.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely.
All right. Now, mindful that we've got you for half an hour, and we really, really appreciate the time coming on the show. And a huge shout out to Nick as well for helping organize this. Much appreciated, Nick. You're a champion. So we'll get stuck into it. So tonight's going to be more about just helping us, I suppose, talk about the Pies game and your thoughts on the current game and the Tigers themselves. So the Pies knocked us off by 14 points on the weekend, which was a little bit hard to take against the arch enemy. What was your thoughts on the loss against the Pies? Did it seem like it was worse than what it was, given their scoring shots and things like that, or were you pretty happy with how the Tigers played it out?
Oh, look, I thought we started the game pretty well, but we just couldn't connect up with our ball use. And I know that Damien spoke about that after the game, 28 sort of turnovers in that first half, and we just couldn't connect up. So, look, to be honest, I think Collingwood are the benchmark at the moment. So to be able to come back and actually outscore them in the second half and hang in there and hang tough and be within three goals on what was a pretty difficult night, I sort of always like to walk away glass half full. I think we're doing some things really well and some things not so well. And I think our biggest problem at the moment is that connection forward of centre. And I think if you look back at last year, it was pretty similar. We didn't connect up as well into the forward 50 early in the year. But by the end of the season, you know, we were the number one scoring team in the competition. So I feel like that's a work in progress going inside 50 at the moment. And that was probably the biggest issue against Collingwood. I mean, they kicked their set shots. I mean, people talk about them missing. Most of their misses were goals from play and snaps. They actually kicked their set shots. And yeah, Unfortunately, we missed some of our set shots, which might have had us even a little bit closer in the end, which I guess if the general flow of play was taken into account, 14 points was probably a good result for us, I think.
Yeah, I think there was a couple late that Tom Lynch, I think if he wished he could have his time again, he might have nailed a couple of those to potentially get us right back in it, which would have made it very interesting. The last couple of games against the Crows and the Pies, there's been a few people note that it looks like our game's evolved ever so slightly, whereby we've introduced more of a tempo-based style of play. Whereas last year, we tended not to be able to stop teams when they got on a bit of a run. Is that something you've noticed as well, that we've just been able to have that ability to sort of take five and just chip it around and kind of slow down opposition?
Yeah, look, you definitely need to have the ability to change tempo at times, and even Collingwood do it. I mean, they're playing as fast as anyone at the moment, but they do have the ability to switch into tempo. I think where AFL football is at the moment is it's really hard to stop momentum now, because you can't put numbers back behind the ball at a centre bounce. The stand rule has meant that you can't slow teams down when they're playing fast. So if a team gets a run on, it's extremely hard to stop at the moment. So I think when you do get your hands on the ball, when a team does have a run on, the only way you can stop that momentum is by going into tempo. So I think most teams will try and do that. Carlton certainly did that in round one. You know, they like to chip the ball around as well. So it really is the only way you can stop momentum is first and foremost, get your hands on it at the contest. And if you're not doing that, when you do win it back or intercept it, you probably need to be able to just go into a bit of slow play. So they're the only options you really have now when, without having the ability to flood back or you know, man the mark like we did so well in those premiership years.
And I think it was important that we did chip it around because they are playing very similar to how we did from 2017 through even through till now a bit. So it wouldn't have worked if we just kept going helter-skelter, toe-to-toe with them. The other strategy Grocky was meant to be on tonight wanted to get your thoughts on was our kicking strategy. People are feeling it's becoming a bit too predictable these days, and we always seem to go short and to the right. Now, there must be a method to the madness there. Do you have any insights or thoughts on the kick-out strategy, whereas other teams seem to mix it up quite a bit and go to the side without numbers, whereas we tend to go always to the side with numbers?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess that's another rule that's changed. You know, the player on the mark has to stand back as far as they do now. So my take on that is, and I don't have any insight into what the Tigers are trying to do with the kick-in, but I would always be trying to take as much territory as possible. And I think Collingwood actually showed with Nick Dacos playing on, he often goes short, but then he gets the handball received back. And before you know it, they're down to centre wing. And you clear that sort of dangerous area, which is what you want to do. So I tend to think that's probably a pretty good way to go about it.
Yeah. You did mention a couple of minutes ago that, you know, we were the number one offense last year and we are struggling at the moment. Why do you think that is? Because, I mean, the personnel isn't radically different. Certainly the forward line setup is reasonably similar. Why do you think we're struggling?
Well, I think if you have a look at it, we played Carlton in round one who have, you know, a really good defence, and Lewis Young probably played the best game he's ever played that night. Wiedering's an All-Australian. And it was round one. So, you know, it just doesn't, you don't just click straight away. I mean, against Adelaide, we've scored, you know, 100 points. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And then round three, we've only got a small snapshot here. And this is, I think we tend to overreact as supporters and media commentators in this game to early season stuff. I mean, it was wet the other night. It was the first time either team has encountered wet conditions this year, and it takes a little while to adjust to that. So there was no surprise it was low scoring on Friday night. Round one is your first game of the year, and against Adelaide, we scored pretty heavily. So I just sort of take five on that. I mean, as I said, I don't think we connected up that well into our forward line early last season. But by the end of the year, things got going. And I tend to think just suck and wait and see on that. I think we will eventually get there. As you said, personnel's not that much different. So I'd just take five on that and have a look at the next 2 or 3 weeks. And if we're still struggling to connect, then maybe there is an issue there.
Hmm. Our forward pressure, it was a hallmark of our game through the premiership years. We seem to be probably not quite at that level. Is that just a game style evolution?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, I think if you look across the competition at the moment, it's the game is different, and some of the rule changes have brought that into the fold. And I think it's personnel as well. I mean, Jason Castagna obviously retired just recently. You know, Dan Butler went to St Kilda a few years ago. We had Stengel on the list. You know, obviously we had Daniel Rioli playing as that pressure forward in our premiership years. He's been moved to half back and he's been a revelation. I mean, you're not going to put him back forward now. He's potentially going to be an All-Australian half back. So at the moment, it probably is a lot left up to Morris Rioli Jr. He is our number one pressure player, but I think, you know, there's some younger players that you may see in the coming weeks. I think Seth Campbell was a young forward who they think can come in and play that role. So expect to see him, the Tassie boy, probably in the next month or so. So it's probably personnel. We probably just don't have the guys that we did have down there, and it probably is something that we're looking to improve in.
And one of the forwards that did provide a spark for us when he was subbed on was Cumberland, who I think a lot of Richmond people were a bit shocked that he hasn't started in the first few games of the year. How did you see his impact from coming onto the ground? And do you think he's done enough to suggest that he's a best 22 player going forward?
Yeah, look, I don't know why he wasn't playing, mate. I think potentially it was maybe around some defensive aspects of his game. Also, with Dustin Martin playing more as a permanent forward in those first few weeks, the probably position was taken by him. But looking at what he did when he came on, I think you have to play him moving forward. I honestly feel that he's the type of player that reads the play so well that he actually gets on the end of more ball at AFL level than he does at VFL level, because the ball movement's probably better and the skills are better. So I just think he reads the ball well. When we win the footy or intercept the football, he reacts quickly because he's a natural forward. So he's a connector as well. I just feel like, you know, when he came on, we connected up inside 50 a little bit better, and that's obviously an area we just spoke about we need to be better at. So, look, I'd be very surprised that he's not in the team now moving forward.
He just added a whole new dynamic. And I felt bad for Samson Ryan, because I don't think he did a lot wrong, but I think for team balance, it was the right call at the end of the day. And the first 2 minutes, I suppose, proved that when he got those good passes inside 50.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, he reads the play so well. And I just think, you know, the way the game is played now, where you score off turnover, and that's what we really do. We intercept well and score off turnover. He reacts quicker than anyone else, and that's what good forwards do. Yeah. They sense what's happening and they react quicker, and you get on the end of things. So, I like Noah, and I think he should be in the team.
And still, I like that he lowered his eyes.
Sorry guys. Go EJ.
You go, EJ.
No, go on. You were saying about the eyes.
I really love the fact that Noah lowers his eyes as well. Those passes he made inside 50, he actually, despite being under immense pressure, composed himself and looked to hit a target, which was a big difference too.
Yeah, I
probably
wanted him to kick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, true. Look, he just showed the ability last year that he kicks multiple goals. I mean, you take his first game out of it, he was the sub up in Sydney that night. After that, he averaged over 2 goals a game, but his score involvements were high as well. And I just think, you know, we don't have enough of that at the moment. So I think you probably have to look at past some of the deficiencies a little bit and look at what he does bring. And, yeah, I'll be surprised if he's not in the team over the coming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another one of your good mates, Jack Rewalt, which you stitched up beautifully on the post-game interview from round one with the draw comment. That was well played. Have you given him more stick about that? Surely that hasn't just fallen by the wayside.
Well, what's he played in? 8 or 9 draws now, which is extraordinary. Look, he tried to have a chip with me about my goal-kicking record, my points-kicking record at the MCG, so I just thought I'd better straighten him out a little bit. But, look, it's good, a good bit of banter and... Look, me and Jack have known each other a long time now, and you know I've just loved following his career, having played with him in his first game and his first couple of years, to see what he's been able to achieve in the game, and still contributing now at the age of 34. I just think he's been unbelievable for our footy club.
And what do you think about his role? Do you think his role's evolving and changing as he sadly gets closer to the end of his career? Sort of similar. I mean, your role obviously changed towards the back end. And is that a hard conversation to have between player and coach when he's played so well in a certain position for so long?
Yeah, look, he's basically still playing, you know, in the forward half of the ground. So it hasn't changed that much for him. But, look, he would understand now that Lynch is the number one target. And, you know, his role would be to provide movement and to get away from Lynch a little bit. Lynch is the number one target inside 50, so he probably has to get a little bit higher and play his role. And look, that's what he did pretty well last year, I thought. I mean, Lynch should have been All-Australian, I think. And Jack still kicked 40 goals, so he's certainly playing that secondary target pretty well.
You can do the next one, ZJ.
Yeah, thrown out a bit by Brock not being here. What are the importance of Taranto and Hopper? Obviously, it changes for the better our midfield mix. And in addition to that, Kane Corn's recent analysis on Taranto being the worst kick in the comp?
Oh, I didn't know that Kane had said that, but it's hard to keep up with everything Kane says at times. I mean, I get along all right with Kane. I mean, I've known him for years, and he's playing his role in the media, but that's a big call. I mean, Taranto, I'm sure he would acknowledge that, you know, he probably has missed a few targets in the last few weeks, but I'm sure it's something he's working at. His job is to win clearances for us and provide that two-way run through the midfield, which I think he's done pretty well. He's been in our top two or three players in the first three games. I don't think you could have asked much more from him coming in as a new player to have an impact. So that's what he provides. And Hopper's your inside contested bull, and we missed him against Collingwood. I mean, we lost contested bull. I think we lost by 23 in the end. You know, he got 8 coaches' votes the week before against Adelaide, and he was at the bottom of every pack. So we really missed him, I thought. I felt like the ball was able to spill out of stoppage a little bit, and that played into, you know, Collingwood's run and counter-attack out of stoppage. I think they're better than us at that at the moment. And I think if Hopper was there, he would have caused a secondary stoppage and, you know, we get another crack at it. So that's his role. And I'm pretty sure he's going to play this week. From all reports, it sounds like he'll be okay. So, yeah, he's the contested ball, and Taranto's your run and clearance player.
Yeah, we got smacked in contested ball, and we also got smacked in that secondary ground ball get area as well. To finish as close as we did was actually remarkable.
Yeah, and I think that's where Hopper, if you look at the tape from round one, even when he I think he only had 16 or 17 possessions, he was always the last man up at the bottom of a pack to force another stoppage and not let that ball spill out, and then, you know, you get exposed with a bit of run from that, and that's what the Pies did pretty well. So yeah, he was really missed the other night.
How do you see our best team balance in regards to the ruck situation? Obviously Nag is a beast and he's number one, and we've got Ryan playing at the moment. We had Miller play round one. We've also got a couple of developing sort of types in the twos. What do you think is the best way forward? Is it Ryan or is it Miller?
I know that the Dimmer's been set horses for courses a little bit. I just think now with where we're at as a club and where we're moving forward, I think I'd like to see them persevere with Sampson. I think he's done some time in the VFL now. He's shown that he's a consistent player at VFL level. He's 21 now. He's looking bigger and stronger. He looks bouncy. And I think he's got a lot of upside. So I think I would still continue with him. With the 5 on the bench now, I think you can. You know, it wasn't the right conditions for him the other night. It probably was the right call to be subbed out. But I'd be surprised if he doesn't keep playing moving forward. He's shown that he can kick goals. And he's shown that he's getting stronger and marking the ball better at VFL level now. And I think it's, you know, we need to develop another tool because obviously Jack's, you know, potentially coming to the end of his career at the end of the year. So you need to get game time in. So I would, you know, if I was on the selection committee, I'd keep having a look at Sampson Ryan. That's holding nothing against Miller, who's been really good. But I just think we need another tool who can kick goals moving forward. And he looks the most likely at the moment.
We certainly do have, I think, compared to the last couple of years, I think we've shot pretty well at the draft, and we've got a good level of depth, I think, building again. Of those that are playing in the twos at the moment, who are you most excited about coming through?
I love the look of Sonti towards the end of last year. I thought he looked classy. He looked like he could win clearance. He uses it well. He's looked like he had poise. I think he had a couple of little injury issues over the preseason, which maybe has held him back a little bit, but I think he played pretty well against Coburg on the weekend. I'm really excited to see him come back into the team, and I'll be surprised if he doesn't in the coming weeks. I know they really rate Banks, the Tasmanian boy, potentially being probably a wingman moving forward. I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I think that young Brown showed that he could play as well. Obviously, he's got a wrist injury at the moment and not playing, but I think that draft crop will end up being pretty good for us moving forward, and just about getting game time into them now and trying to, you know, fast track that development.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and I think something you said earlier on about Cumberland, I think Sonsi's in the same boat. When he played at that higher level, it just looked like it fitted him better as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he played okay at VFL level before he got his opportunity last year. And I think his opportunity came because of injury. And he came in and showed that he could play. And I know that the guys really rated him when he came into the team. I think Dion Presti was on record as saying that, you know, he thought that this guy was a real player moving forward. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think he's going to be a bit like Cumberland when he comes in. The higher level will actually suit him.
And we've sort of played around a little bit with Biggie, and he seems to be running in the ruck at the moment. Do you think that's his position?
Ooh, yeah, probably haven't seen him play in the ruck enough to comment on that. I know that the last few weeks he's done really well playing that role. Certainly got the athleticism to do it. But I'd like to think, you know, moving forward with Robbie Tarrant and Grimesy both into their 30s, I think you still would persevere with him as a key position defender moving forward.
And you've done obviously a power of work in the media as well. Is it tricky to balance your passion, love for the Tigers when doing your media work? Does it play on your mind when you're commentating? I mean, excluding the grand final, that's a whole different kettle of fish, as we all saw. But does it something that plays in your mind when you're on the TV?
Well, I got tagged into a few tweets the other night, and I know supporters are passionate, but I noticed a few Richmond supporters thought that I was overcompensating towards Collingwood, so I didn't look to be biased. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, Collingwood were clearly the better team the other night, and when a team's playing as good a footy as they're playing at the moment, you tend to talk about them a little bit more. So I didn't think that was fair, probably. I think, you know, if Richmond are playing well, I'd be accused of, you know, being an ex-Richmond player. I don't think you can win in that situation. So
it's
But you can't win. I mean, I've had games where Richmond supporters have said that I'm going the other way to try and pump up the other team too much so I don't look to be biased. But then the supporters of the team that we're playing say that I'm an ex-Richmond player. I shouldn't be commentating on that game. So you can't win, really. So it's probably not a good time to look at Twitter after I've commentated on a Richmond game. That's what I'll say.
No, I think you do a good job. And most of the ex-players do. Like, they understand, you know, what their role is in the sport they're commentating, and I think it all goes fine. Now, the dissent rule, which might have had you in a bit of trouble back in your day when playing, but I'm sure you've seen this one, the Stephen Coniglio free kick for putting his arms out at the top of the goal square. What's your take on that? Like, for me, I don't think he was overly aggressive with that motion. The AFL have ticked it off, by the way. I think players should be allowed to ask questions as to why free kicks weren't paid.
I think so. I mean, there's careers on the line here, you know. I mean, guys are out there playing, you know, it's a high-pressure industry. You're analysed, you know, within an inch of your life every single week you play. And some of the umpiring decisions, you know, can turn games, and that one did. I mean, the Giants were in front when that happened. I didn't think he was aggressive. I thought he asked a question. It wasn't an aggressive question that he asked. He just wanted a bit of an explanation. Surely, we can have that in the game. We don't want players swearing and abusing umpires and, you know, the stuff that I did, I look at it now and I go, it's a disgrace, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to do that now. And that rightly so, because kids mimic what the AFL players do at junior level. So, but that Coniglio one, that was too far. The problem is that this is that some umpires aren't sensitive to being asked a question, some are. And so it's not consistent then that the judgment of those dissents. So, yeah, and I think with that
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah. I mean, I used to enjoy Darren Goldspink was an umpire who, you know, you could say something to him and he'd come back at you and give you a bit of a clip as well. And it was sort of fun. You sort of enjoyed it, that bit of interaction with an umpire. We don't want it to go completely the other way where you can't even, you know, acknowledge each other. And I thought Coniglio asked a question that was pretty fair.
Agree. And what you said was spot on. We definitely don't want players abusing or swearing at umpires. 100% stamp that out. But
yeah,
as a junior or when you're coaching juniors, you're telling kids, you're trying to educate them and they ask questions. And it's no different at AFL level, I guess. Yeah. When you give away a free kick, you don't want to repeat it. I just think the four different interpretations, and like you said, umpires each have their own feelings and persona, and that plays a part too. And I think that's just too much of a grey area.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of grey areas in the game, and it's a tough job. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be
sounding for sure.
Like we're having a crack at umpires here, but that felt like it was just a little bit too much. And for that to result in a goal that was crucial in a pretty low-scoring game when the Giants were in front, I mean, they would have asked the question of the AFL, and the AFL probably don't like to say that the umpire made the wrong call there, but I reckon privately there might have been a few phone calls there admitting that it was wrong.
I think they would actually get more respect if they did come out and say, yeah, we're human, we got it wrong, apologies. I think that would actually resonate more with the footy community.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think if you come out and own something, I think everyone moves on pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I think the other rule that... one thing in the press release that really ground my gears was that they said you can't coach human response. That's exactly what you can coach. You can tell the umpires that the players are going to do this and there is a line. You can actually, the excuse just didn't wash anyway. Let's move on. Yeah. Sorry, had to get it off my chest.
No, I get what you're saying.
And I suppose the other rule I wanted to ask you about was the stand rule, which is obviously a new one as well. It feels like it's taken us a little bit longer to adapt to this rule in terms of making the absolute most of it. What's your thought on the rule, and do you think that we've sort of now gotten our head around ways to not exploit it, but to use it better to our advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coaches always find a way. That's the whole thing with changing rules. The AFL's always chasing their tail because the coaches will find a way around most things, and they always do.
Yeah.
I don't like the rule. I'm never, ever going to like it. I think Kevin Bartlett, who we all love, is the ex-Richmond champion. The game is 18 on 18. When you have the stand rule, it's become 17 v 18. I mean, it's just, you can see a guy coming to receive the handball receiving. You've just got to watch it happen. You can't defend it. And I don't know why they did it. They want to open the game up, but it doesn't feel right. But look, it's here to stay. They're not going to wind it back now. So you just have to work out ways to get around it. And I think gradually teams are doing that, basically not going up and standing or sifting back a little bit. Yeah, the coaches always find a way.
Yeah, and I think we better get used to more rule changes because I can pretty much guarantee that last touch is going to come in the next couple of years.
Well, I think it's already in and they just haven't told us yet.
Yeah, and I actually don't mind the rule. I don't mind the rule. Of all the rule changes, that one worries me the least.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, between the arcs, I think in the forward 50 and D50, you've got to have a little bit of leeway, but I get it between the arcs. I think it will come in pretty shortly. I think it's already basically in anyway. I mean, they pay most of them now.
Yeah, yeah. Are we seeing the team this year building currently with a view to hit our straps a little bit later? Are we not quite going at full rep power, do you reckon?
Well, as I said before, I mean, I think if you look at our premiership years, we've never been humming early in the season. I know we won 5 in 17, but then we lost the next 4. We were 5-4. I think if you look at all of those premiership years, we weren't really humming until the back half of the year. And then you even look at Geelong last year. I mean, they weren't humming until, you know, round 7 or 8, and then they didn't lose again. So there's no way knowing that you want to play your best footy in the first few weeks. I think Melbourne are another example of that last year. They were 10-0 and then, you know, really faded in the second half of the year. So I trust that our club knows how to do it. They've done it 3 times out of the last, 5 years. And I'm sure our footy will only get better. We've got a tough stretch coming up. If we can, this week's probably pretty important to win this one against the Dogs. If you can get through this next patch and be 50-50, I think you give yourself a really good opportunity with a lot of probably more winnable games or games that you think you should win in that after that next 3 or 4.
Yeah. If we win this week and then split, at a minimum, split the Swans and the D's, we should be all right.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a pretty good result, I reckon.
All right, Richo, before we let you go, just how's the club podcast going? Obviously, you're a big feature on there, Talking Tigers. Everything going well there?
Yeah, good fun. Good fun. I've had to give Chief Watch a little bit of a spell because I didn't want to upset his chances of getting the AFL role. But look, he's just
We would actually rather you did upset his chances. We'd rather keep him.
I know. Well, he's just too... I noticed he was at the Grand Prix yesterday, so he's just too prolific to ignore. So I think I'll have to bring it back tomorrow.
I think that's one of the greatest segments of all time, Chief Watch. And what I love is the amount of people that get involved with you on Twitter with it and tag you and all kinds of stuff that the Chief does.
Well, he can't do anything now, the poor old Chief. Everywhere he goes, we've got eyes everywhere. So, look, and he's been great with it, Benny. He has a laugh and it's all tongue-in-cheek and we all know that 90% of it's made up. But it's a bit of fun and I think that's what I enjoy about that podcast is, you know, obviously we're a club podcast and we've got to be positive about what we're doing and we want to be positive. That's what we always glass half full, but you know, we have a bit of fun as well. And we've got a really good, you know, group of people that love the show and listen every week. And, you know, we stay connected with our fans and yeah, it's probably been the most enjoyable thing I've done in the media over the last 10 years. I love going in there every Tuesday and doing it.
No, it's fantastic, mate. We love your work in all forms of media and, of course, your playing career with the Tigers. So thanks so much for coming on tonight, mate. Really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your wonderful family. But we really appreciate your time and the Tiger faithful. Very lucky to have you on tonight. So thanks very much, mate.
Nah, love the Tiger Army. And, look forward to watching the lads for the rest of the year. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, lads. Take care.
All right, there we go, folks. Tiger legend Matthew Richardson joining us for the first 30 minutes. Absolute superstar. Massive thanks to Nick as well for helping organise that, mate. Really, really appreciate it. He's an absolute champion. Okay? Yeah, Shay. he's a superstar. So make sure we get around the club podcast as well. They do great work there.
It is a superb podcast. It really is. I mean, you know, the listeners might not know, I drive around for a living. I'm in my car, all day, every day. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and that is a must listen every week. It's a quality podcast. If you don't check it out, you absolutely should.
Closely followed by the Bigfooty Tiger Cast is your second podcast to listen to right after that one if you don't watch it live.
Well, with the times that I'm not on the podcast, I absolutely listen to the Bigfooty Tiger Cast. I'm not a big fan of listening back to myself.
I don't either, to be fair. I agree. I'm the same. But I hope everyone enjoyed that. We will crack into the Bulldogs preview as well. But yep. I hope everyone enjoyed. That's the special treat you get for supporting the Bigfooty Tiger Cast. We're able to bring some big names, all thanks to Nick, of course. That's what we bring to the table. No, he's an absolute superstar, Richo. Absolute pleasure to have him on. It's just good. Like the last time we had him on, we obviously spoke about his time as a player and things like that, which we all know and all love. And I thought it was nice, EJ, just to pick his brain about the current Tiger stuff and the rules and get his view on things.
100%. Because, you know, like we know he's not in a sanctum, but he's still down the club all the time. He's still very close with the players and the staff and things like that. So he sees and hears a lot more than what we do. And he can add that extra layer of insight and, give us that little bit of extra information. And no topic off topic. It was really good fun.
It was, absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate that, Hound. North fan tuning in. I love your work, mate. Thank you. I didn't think you were going to tune in. I know I sent you the link, but I didn't think you were going to tune in because it's Tiger stuff. So that just shows how much Richo has a bit of a wide reach to even non-Richmond fans.
Everybody loves Richo.
Everyone. And he was one of those players you had to watch play. All right, we'll get cracking into the Bulldogs preview. Now, the Doggies picked up their first win of the year on the weekend, knocking off the Lions by 14 points, which my two sons managed to tip, and I would have actually tipped Brisbane if I was doing it myself, so they've done well there. But is that something... Maybe they're going to kickstart their year, EJ, because they seem to finally get their shit together. Like, on paper, they've got some good names. I know they lost Dunkley, but they've still got a pretty good midfield and some good forwards.
Yeah, they do. If we get Hopper back, I don't think they bat as deep as us. But, yes, they do. But what was noticeable last week, because I watched that game and I tipped the Lions, I thought that the Dogs were no chance because their actual numbers on their chase and their tackling numbers and their pressure indicators were down. They were off the charts last week. And also, you got to say, one, I know people pointed out after the fact he had 14 or 13 clangers or something, but one of the great captain's games from the Bont, he just picked them up and put them on his shoulder and dragged them. He was everywhere.
He was super. Now, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the game, we'll start with our ins and outs. Now, the list I put in our PM isn't necessarily what you'll agree with, no doubt, and it could divide people. Now, I don't know if all of these will play out, but I think Samson Ryan might find himself out, and I want to state he has done absolutely nothing wrong. I thought his two games were actually very good, but I think he might find himself out, and I think Miller might be better suited to play the hybrid role. I think Hopper comes straight back in for Ross. Again, Ross hasn't done anything wrong, but if we're sort of looking like for like. If Dusty's fit, Ralph Smith might be unlucky. And I think Young might come out to keep Cumberland in. I was really struggling to try and work out the mathematics of how this is going to work. Because I don't know, is Jaden Short available? I'm not sure what his status is. But Sonzi's obviously putting his hand up too.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a selection issue here, EJ.
Well, as I was saying, I think our depth has increased remarkably in the last two seasons. And I think I agree with your idea that maybe Ryan goes out, but I think it's Ryan for Cumberland. I think that's a straight swap. And that goes to the fact that the Dogs are quite top heavy down back.
And they are. I was looking at that today. I was actually quite shocked with how tall they are down there.
Yeah, yeah. So we want a little bit of maneuverability. I don't think that's the word I'm looking for, but I think you know what I mean. We want a more dynamic sort of a setup to use our wheels and to sort of, you know, catch them sort of that half pace behind. And Samson Ryan's not going to do that. So that's where I would say, I don't know if Dusty's going to come back. I don't know if Hopper's going to come back.
I think it might have been Grock put before. Have those two been categorically ruled in? Did someone say before? Oh, there you go. So Dimmer said, I'll put that up on the screen from Espo. Dimmer said that Shorty, Hopper, and Dusty are very likely. So maybe Mansell's another one who might unfortunately miss out.
Yeah. And again, I don't think he's done, apart from missing a shot for goal, I don't think he's done a lot wrong. I think he's been pretty good.
It's so hard because I think we all definitely agree that we need to have that speed. I think in round one, we probably felt a little bit slow in some places, but I don't think Cumberland slows us down. I think he adds a bit of toe around the forward line. But yeah, the selection this week is going to be very, very interesting. I'm interested to see what everyone in chat reckons we're going to do as well. But
Shorty, Hopper.
One more week. Why would Rioli Jr. be in trouble? Hopefully he
plays. No.
Well, he won't be dropped. It would have to be injured.
He's 100% going to be picked. There were a couple of amazing tackles on the weekend. He gets his spot. And I mean, the week before he kicked two goals, so he's fine. He's fine. So looking at that then, I've come up with Mansell, Ross and Ryan out.
Yep.
And us being slightly smaller, but that keeps Young in. I think with the Dogs forward line, we're going to need that little bit of height and sort of hybrid type. And if we don't have Broad, I don't think we can afford to drop Young.
Yeah, I agree because, they got Uhagan, they got Norton, English drops forward.
Side. I should have written down the Dogs side. There's someone else.
What's up? Who's this?
Oh, hey.
Here he is, TV. Welcome, mate.
Jeez. Hi, everybody.
How are you, mate? What's going on?
Not enough hours in a day. So I thought I'd just quickly say hi to everybody and touch base.
Very good. Well, we're up to the part where we're talking about the Doggies game. Who do you reckon our ins and outs are going to be, if you've got any take on that?
The Sons, he has to come in. Like that's a Fonzie reference there, EJ, because you're old.
No, I got it. I'm not jumping out of my skin about it, but I got it.
It was a shit joke. Cumbo has to come in. Sonzi, Hopper.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. That's who I was thinking of.
That was the only miss. Thank you, Barry.
Yes. I don't know if Dusty's right, play him. But if he's if there's a doubt on Dusty, don't risk him. Just go with the three, and you know maybe Mansell goes back out as the sub. I don't know, something like. But Sons, after 30 odd touches, he has to come in. Must come
and to EJ's point earlier, he seems to have played better at AFL level than VFL. I think if we're going to develop him and not fast track him, but if you want to get games into him, get quality games under him. So I think that's where he's going to benefit the most.
I think so. I mean,
but it's who's at the expense though?
We had an awkward conversation, myself and EJ, today. That the flip side is, say we're treading water 2/3 through the season, and this is an awful conversation, but
oh, hang on. Sort of that, this awkward conversation was not that other awkward conversation. This was the awkward footy conversation. Okay, go ahead.
You send one? No. It was just
one goat.
If we're just if we're sitting 8th to 10th and we're 2/3 in the season, you got to wonder whether guys like Cumbo and Sons, they're just permanent full-time in, and maybe a couple of the older gentlemen, maybe a Tarrant or someone, maybe, you know what I mean? I don't know. It could be a real interesting year for Richmond. And this next 3 weeks shapes.
We won't be 8th. We won't be 8th.
I'm very confident on that as well. I think we'll be a lot higher than that. But interesting. These next 3 weeks do shape a little bit. We need to get one or two out of these next 3 weeks, though, yes. For sure.
Yes. It's almost like you were listening to the podcast before you came on.
I really wasn't. I've still got the goggle marks from bloody swimming and so on.
I can see that, yeah.
Right, no, yeah, so we go on.
I was like, how do we knock the doggies off this week?
I believe we will get on top of them in the midfield. Oh, Espo, please. You're giving me nightmares. I believe we bat deeper. So I make these statements with Hopper back in. Right? If Hopper's back in, I think we bat deeper and I think we'll grind them down. And I think our rebound off half back will be right. It will be okay if we Rioli's been unbelievable. Baker was unbelievable last week. Can I give you Liam Baker last week?
Yes, please.
32 disposals, 449 metres gain, 4 tackles, 12 intercept possessions, 13 contested possessions, 7 score involvements, and 78% disposal efficiency. I don't know if people... In a losing side, sometimes you lose sight of what we did well. Baker was unreal.
And it's the things that aren't recorded in stats too, like the cannonballing himself into contests to create spoils and all kinds of stuff. Like, he was just a maniac in a good way.
Yep. So I believe we've got the twin off halfback. And if we go in with a slightly more mobile forward line, I think that will trouble the Bulldogs.
I think it's got to be a bit similar to the Carlton game in the fact that we've just got to crack them with pressure. We just have to that tackle intensity, that intensity around the pill, give them no space, zero space around the agate. But but having said that, Bevo put square pegs back in square holes a little bit last weekend too, and it clearly worked for him far better than what he tried the first 2 weeks. So there'll be stiff opposition this week around the pill with Liberatore and those guys, but I think our run and gun off the half-back line's pretty darn good and pretty skilled. And Noah Bolter has had 2 very good games out of 3 too.
Yeah, he has. He's going to have his handful again this week with Norton, who is a beautiful contested mark and lead-up player, and one that, you know, he's torched us massively in one of his very, very early games, as we all would have remembered. But that's going to be a really good battle. How do you see that one playing at EJ? Bolter versus Aaron Norton?
If we can get Norton to be having those possessions up the ground,
yep.
it doesn't matter if he has a lot of them because it's a win for us. Much like a couple of weeks ago when we played Carlton, right, McKay was basically rendered impotent because, yes, he was getting marks and stuff like that, but he was taking them up on the wing. That doesn't hurt us. So if we can push Norton up the ground and make that the area of possession, that's, I think, the way that we can.
Are we confident we want to roll with the second ruck?
I don't know. Like we were saying before, they've got some super height. Like up forward, they've got Eagle Hagen, Norton, Lobb. But down back, they've got Bruce, Keith, Liam Jones. Was there another one that I've missed?
And I think Sam Darcy.
And, oh, he was dropped last week, so I'm not sure if he will come back in or not. But he's another one. If he plays, it's another tall. Yeah. And obviously Tim English doing their ruck work. But I'm kind of feeling like the hybrid rucking of Miller might be still better than a second pure ruck. We just looked a lot quicker around the ground having the one ruckman and then a part-timer. But I don't know whether that was weather condition-based, but it's going to be similar again. So I'm not sure whether we should go in with three ruck or two rucks.
Oh, I'll raise a question on someone who I think isn't fit and could probably do with a week off to freshen up. I'm not sure that Marlon Pickett is good to go at the moment. As much as he's played some good footy, I wonder if it'd be worthwhile giving Pickett a spell and just give him a week to freshen up. We've got two very important games coming up afterwards where that creates an opportunity for a young bloke.
It's hard because Pickett's good is very, very good, isn't it? And it becomes instrumental in the way we play. But if you're picking on form, if we're... I think that's also important, isn't it, though? You try and pick on form. If there's someone else who can play that role better than what he did the week before, maybe it is something to consider.
Well, like I said, he had the hip flexor, so he had a limited preseason, and he does look a bit sore. It's just, he's doing some Marlon-looking things, but then there's sometimes, you know, I just don't know if he's 100%. I just think there's a chance to rest him. This would be the week to rest him and get him right for Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, I can understand. The only period where he's looked unreal was when the game was on the line against Adelaide and he was just Marlon Pickett for that burst.
Mm.
That was willing himself on the contest. Yeah, I think you're right. He's like a half a yard off it, isn't he?
Yeah, and I love him. I love him to bits, but I'm just looking at it from an objective point of view with my my selection hat on. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. What about hitting targets this week? I reckon that was the biggest thing that dogged us of a real chance of knocking the Pies off last week. We were horrible with some awful turnovers. Was it the weather? Was it their pressure rushing us? A combination of the two? And how do we fix it? Even if we fix it by 5 or 10%, we're going to score a few more goals from it.
I think Collingwood's a very well-coached team. And I'm not saying Dimmer got out-coached. That would be incorrect. But the way Collingwood set up, particularly in that first half, it just felt we had too many blokes getting drawn into the ball and Collingwood always had a couple on the outside. And once it flicked out, they were gone and they were too quick for us. And that pressure, that relentless pressure our back line was under, they killed us. And that put a lot of pressure on our disposal as a result. Some of the turnovers we didn't have that back half from some of the people like Grimes and that was just... You don't normally see that.
Off the back foot and just hitting it straight to him. I was like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, you don't normally see that. So,
you're right. We, you know how we got smashed on the spread?
Yeah.
Yeah. We lost contested ball, but losing ground ball gets as well, which is that next possession on the outside. 8 of the top 11 people on the ground were Magpies.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so as a consequence, the top five people for pressure acts were Richmond players because we were second to the ball.
But I think we learnt
a lot from that game. Yeah. And I think the game changed towards the back end of the second quarter.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And so I think that if we played Collingwood again, it would be a different game.
Well, they at Richmond into wet conditions. We got better as the conditions got better. But that first half, they played a Richmond brand of football better than we could. And they
played it terrible.
They were excellent.
They were. We played the conditions horribly in that first quarter, and it cost us dearly. What about our forward setup? If Dusty's coming back, obviously Cumberland, I think, can't be dropped. Like, we're being honest, he just couldn't be dropped after the impact he had in that game. How do we get the balance right to make sure we're not slow? Because, you know, if Cochran's going to rest up there at some point, not saying he's a fully fledged forward, but Lynch and Rewild are obviously not the quickest. Cumberland's quick when he's got the ball. I'm not fully sold on if he's as quick when he's doing the defensive running, EJ, which I know was a point you made last year. So we're kind of left with MJ and Bolton if he's down there doing the groundwork. So how do we find that balance to make sure that we've got the speed on at ground level?
I reckon Jack's the guy that's got to be the one that gets rotated heavily, more heavily off the ground. Lynch and Jack, I love Jack, but he father time's catching up with him, and you can see it. He's lost his spring, still got his smarts. He's still worth 1-2 goals a game, no doubt about it. There's everything else around that pressure and retaining it. I wonder if, he spends a bit more time rotating through, and Cumbo gets more time on the ground with Dusty and Lynch, and become a bit more of a mobile forward line. Maybe.
Well, we're sort of playing Jack high anyway. He's sort of becoming that connector.
Yeah.
But is there connection? Like, him and Lynch, I think, have done a terrible job at that connection from the back line to the wing so far. Maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's a disposal issue towards them. But is Cumberland going to be better? Is he more likely to get on his bike and actually lead to space and actually be a viable target rather than arm up in the air on a 2v1 with their loose hanging back to just clean up and they all reload?
Yeah,
I just gave away 50 there by doing that, for the record, under those rules. But
yes.
We need more speed in that forward line and more mobility, and that's why I just want to see Cumbo in a bit more. The pace he injected in that forward line when Samson Ryan went off, it was telling.
Yeah, and he's only 6 foot, but he plays a bit bigger than that.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, we'll go through some matchups quickly, and then maybe we'll take some questions for the last few minutes from the listeners. So if you've got any questions, start thinking them up and send them through shortly. But some matchups, CB, Liam Baker versus Bailey Smith. It may not fully eventuate, but I would like to see that one happen. I think Baker's got that real dog mentality, if we can use that phrase, to shut him down.
Well, he's got to be stopped. But having said that, Bailey Smith's doing a lot of rotation on the ball now too. And this is the type of game Bailey Smith can spark up. So we've got to sit on him and not give him any space at all, because that kid's he's an absolute weapon, Bailey Smith. With beautiful hair, for the record. So, you're right. Whoever's on him, whether it's, do not give him any space now, because he will create scores and he will score. There's no doubt about it.
He's very, very good. EJ, I've got down Tom Lynch and Jack Rewalt versus Josh Bruce and Liam Jones. Obviously, Keith is the other defender for the Doggies, but I feel like those two the most obvious matchup size-wise. And fair play to Bruce, who has, by his own accord, reinvented himself as a defender, because he wasn't getting the game as a forward. And he actually looked okay against the Lions.
Yeah. Now, this is actually...
Although he's on hip forward, so...
So are we saying that Liam Jones is going to go to Lynch?
He normally takes Jack.
I reckon he'll go to Jack, and I reckon Josh Bruce will go to Lynch.
Well, I'd like to see that, because I think Lynch is a bit of a different kettle of fish. So I'd be happy for Jack to be kept quiet by Jones. I reckon Lynch could hurt 17 and wet. There you go. Maybe they're not going to be a big factor, but I like the matchup of Bruce and Lynch for us.
Nick raised a good point before it's just disappeared off the comments screen about our small forwards. and it is a bugbear. I don't know whether we've got the mix right with our pressure forwards, because when you look at the work MRJ, Mansell, and Graham are doing, they're not hitting the scoreboard. So, they're putting a lot of pressure on and that, but we actually need some small forwards to actually start hitting the scoreboard more. So, that's hurting us as well. We can't keep relying on Lynch to kick five or what have you. We need more small forwards getting goals. Even Bolton, what's he kicked this year?
Two, maybe.
And if we step back, and really, if we're being fair, that was a lot of people's exact criticism of Georgie Castagna. Apply pressure, but didn't kick goals. And we're still finding ourselves in almost the same spot with different players.
Well, I think NJ kicked a couple.
He did, yeah.
But Graham has missed goals that he would normally kick. But he isn't that super fast player. And I think what you're going to see this week is Mansell out, Cumberland in, and you're probably backing Cumberland to do a better job of actually hitting the scoreboard than Mansell, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And to answer John Skurlock's question before, Soldo is actually out for a medium-term injury. He injured a toe last Thursday at training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Soldo's got a crooked toe, so he's out for a period of time. He won't be playing for a bit.
All right, well, we'll get some tips and then start sending your questions through, folks, and we'll answer some questions. But who are we tipping for this one, gentlemen? EJ?
Sorry, I've just seen a comment. Nick Gianna, you're 100% right. I said this the other day. Bolton needs to stop fluffing around and just get back to the basics of football and everything will fall into place. I'm tipping the Tigers by 23 points. I think we'll do it pretty comfortably.
Listen to you, Terry Wallace, and your Dean Polo haircut.
What?
CB, who are you going with?
Richmond will destroy the pitiful Puppies by 20 points. Lynch to kick four.
Well, it's lunchtime. I reckon we'll get up by 17, but I just want to see a big four-quarter effort. And thank you, Grok, for dropping that in there as well. Ken the Macintosh, 150 games. Okay. Well done to K-Mac, who... You know, plays a pivotal role on the wing for us. He's the general out there and does direct a lot of play. So much love to Camden. All right, if anyone's got any questions for the last few minutes, send them through. I'll keep popping up the tips. Tigers by 9. Did we get everyone earlier? Tigers by 21. Thoughts on from Andrew. Thoughts on Koch starting sub and coming off the bench for a full mid-time game in the second half because he's not great up forward.
He hasn't played any time really up forward. He's spent a lot of time in the midfield. And he's been going okay. Well, personally, I think Cochin's having an okay year.
I think he was our second highest attender at centre bounces this week. For us? Oh, sorry, excluding Nag.
Yeah.
I think behind Prestia, Cochin was the next highest at centre bounces. He's playing midfield. I don't mind the idea of maybe once every four or five games, him playing as a sub just to maybe rest those spaghetti hamstrings of his. I don't want him sub every week, but once every five or six games, because we're nursing him to 300. So.
Oh, yeah. Grok wants to know if any of us are going to the game. I will be attending my first game this year with the family, so that should be good.
I shall be present, and if I... Still debating whether I take my 18-year-old son to the London beforehand and I smash a couple of pots into him or how I go about it. Still deciding.
Yeah, absolutely. He must.
We'll be watching that with interest. Not so much a question from VM, but a great comment nonetheless. Make sure you do like and subscribe on whatever channel you're watching and get behind us. Thank you, VM. From Nathan or the Hound, who do we think will stand out this week and who's going to have the most disposals? Are you trying to put a cheeky multi on their Hound? I reckon Taranto or Pressy is probably our best bet for most disposals.
I think Taranto, this is the type of midfielder that he can rack up a fair bit of pill against the Dogs. I think Taranto will have a good game and his disposal efficiency will be above 65%.
Oh, just to please Karen Corns. From Scott, are our forwards being too predictable with lead-ups? There seem to be a lot of second man up on Lynchy and Jack when the ball comes down. EJ.
I think that we are not lowering the eyes. We're not looking at the other possibilities, and we're getting drawn to the magnets that are the two big guys that are being double-teamed, and it's bloody infuriating to watch. I'm trying to concentrate and I'm not seeing the comments, and CV's giggling like a schoolgirl.
Skirl's already tried to kill my son on a couple of nights on the piss already. I think he's ready.
Yeah, no, I think we are putting it on their head, and I don't think they're leading hard enough.
Yeah, I agree. The standing still arm up shit just is frustrating. Very, very frustrating.
Oh, my God. Who has a better handle than Chris Fraser Ray or Matthew Nichols?
All right, I think that's a wrap for the night. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Massive thanks again to Richo for jumping on for the first 30 minutes. And to Nick, thank you so much, mate, for helping organise. Really, really appreciate it. An absolute treat to get the great man on. Thanks to CB for jumping on after Richo. Big shoes to fill, but no, you've done well.
Who is he? Who's that guy? He's nothing on this cast. It's me.
And massive thanks to you, EJ, for coming on as well, mate, as always. Shout out to Grok, who was feeling a bit under the weather, and Tiggs, who's still suffering a little bit from the concussion stuff. So I know we like to take the piss out of the great man, but I really hope you're starting to feel more yourself soon and can get on top of it all. As I said, it's been a bit of an eye-opener with what you're going through. So hopefully everything's okay, mate. But
I heard Tiggs gave himself a secondary concussion. When that final siren went and Collingwood got up over Richmond, he jumped up and banged his head again. He was that excited, I'll make it by 71. That's what I heard. Rumor has it.
We've definitely all missed an opportunity to get into him with his dual membership as well, which is disappointing. Let's all hold those comments for the next show he's on, and we can rewind it, and we'll get stuck back into him then. But when did CB become Fig Jam? CB Hollywood. I like that one.
Ask
too.
Ask me about rules of the game, will you?
very good. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Much appreciated. Hopefully the Tigers get up on Saturday. So I think a few people mentioned, is the VFL at Punt Road beforehand, potentially? I think I saw a couple of comments about it being a doubleheader. If that's the case, make sure we all get along to that as well. So have a great night, everybody. Thank you again to Richo and to Nick. And until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I'll be the good-looking bloke, bald head, cruising around like a rooster at the reserves or possibly in a pub. I'll be around somewhere.